Hi, it's Scott. Rockfile back with another podcast review for you. Going to talk about the 2002 movie Solaris. A little bit of background. The movie is based on a Russian novel from the early 60s. It was made into a Russian movie in the early 70s, and that's how I first found out about it. I'm a big fan of the Criterion Collection, who collects important movies from around the world, and when I read that it was an important sci-fi movie from Russia that I'd never heard anything about, I put it on my list and had to see it, especially when I found out it was 3 hours long, and it is nearly 3 hours long. So in 2002, Steven Soderbergh remade it with help from James Cameron, of all people, at a $47 million budget, which is kind of low for a sci-fi movie, actually. But the more you know about this film, the more you know it doesn't really rely on special effects or any kind of action scenes to get the point across. That's not what this is about. In getting ready to do this review, I saw that Google recommended Sunshine, Ad Astra, and High Life as other movies. If you like this one, you would like those. Yeah, I would say especially something like Ad Astra is very similar in nature because this is a cerebral science fiction film. I don't know if they fully stuck the landing on adapting this, but watching it now, 12 or 22 years after its release, and I'm not really expecting a whole lot out of it. Give you a little background beyond the background of the movie. It never really got a decent home video release. It got a DVD release back in 2002, 2003, and it's never come out on Blu-ray or 4K, ever. For a movie that was budgeted at $47 million and only made $30 million, you'd think they would put a few copies out just to recoup some investment, but that's not exactly how things work in Hollywood. George Clooney was cast as the star, and at the time I was like, really? in that, it's a very heavy, you know, kind of intelligent sci-fi movie, but he pulls it off. Watching it now, he did really great in the role. The rest of the cast also does well. Natasha Michel-Elhone, how do you say her name? I always just called her Natasha because I couldn't pronounce her last name. She plays George Clooney's wife, Rhea Kelvin. Viola Davis is in this. Jeremy Davies is in this. John Cho. It's a good cast, and what I really, really enjoyed about the film, outside of the story and the meaning and what it's all dealing with, is the fact that the special effects were totally in service of the story. Like, he doesn't call attention to any of it. It's just kind of there. Like, it's hard to explain. Maybe like how they did it in The Creator. You're just in the world. It's not like they show you how they lift off and show you how everything works. It's just like he boards a ship, boom, he's at the space station. Boom, he gets off and he's got his luggage in hand and he goes and gets in his room and it's all very down to earth and it really just deals with the characters you're dealing with and not the special effects and the science of how they got there and where they are in the universe and all the background on the planet they're investigating and all that. It's not about any of that. It's about a psychologist who goes to this space station that's orbiting a new planet that we're investigating to see if it can be a source of energy, a source of something. And things are going awry. We have lost contact with the space station, and we send George Clooney out there to see what's wrong with everybody. What happens to the crew starts happening to him, and I won't get into too many spoilers if you've never seen it, but the movie is about something happening to people that makes them deal with the losses in their life, the regrets in their life, the maybe the things going on in the back of their head. It makes you confront yourself pretty much. And to explain whether it's, you know, an alien or a planet or a ghost or whatever is to kind of get away from the point. And plus, I don't want to get into what is really going on because it's kind of left up to you in the end as well. But needless to say, they've taken a long book and a 3-hour Russian film and made it into a 99-minute 20th Century Fox summer release. Yeah, it actually came out in the summer. If you're not prepared for a film like this, it's going to seem long even at 99 minutes. But to show you the variety of reviews, on IMDb, it's at 6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is 66%, but IndieWire gives it 5 out of 5, and Google users give it 71%. 71% of Google users liked it. I really enjoyed it this time around, but again, I'm very familiar with the story. I did read the book eventually. I do own the original Russian film. Hello, Criterion, that should be one that would be a 4K upgrade we'd be all up for. Not everybody loves the Russian film. It is long. This one is long, but it takes its time. It has a languid pace, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's supposed to be meditative. You know, you're supposed to be thinking about all of this as it's hitting you, and they don't sugarcoat it. They show you things. Salman Rushdie one time talked about when they were filming this, he called the original movie a sci-fi masterpiece, an exploration of the unreliability of reality and the power of human unconscious, the great examination of the limits of rationalism and the perverse power of even the most ill-fated love. And in the three-hour Russian film and in the book, they go into all sorts of stuff. There's flashbacks, there's dreams, there's all sorts of things. The movie only has 99 minutes to get that point across. I think there was probably some good stuff left on the cutting room floor, and I don't know if in the end they got all the points across they intended to. But it's not bad. It's a Cliff Notes version of the original. They tried to streamline it. They tried to give it a good... I highly recommend the original 1972 Russian film. This version, if you can't stand subtitles in 3 hours of a Russian film is going to, you know, just terrify you at the prospect of watching it, then watch Solaris. The main reason I watched it, because I told you it never got a home video release. Hopefully now that 20th Century Fox and Disney are all together and Sony is going to be releasing more of the 20th Century Fox and Disney product, then maybe this will get a high definition or at least an ultra high definition release. That would be nice. But I was goofing around on Vudu, which is now rebranding as Fandango at Home. Fandango bought it from Walmart last year, and now they're rebranding it as Fandango at Home. Yeah, that rolls off the tongue, but anyway. They were having a sale, $5 movies, and I keep a wish list of certain digital copies of movies that I either own that didn't come with digital copies or movies that I want to see that there's not an easy way for me to get a hard copy of it. Because I do like having a hard copy. I don't want my entire music or my entire movie library to be in space, because if it goes away, it goes away. I want a hard copy of some of these. But for this one, since it's never gotten a home video release and it was on sale for $5 the other day, I grabbed it. In 1080p, the movie looks great. I can only imagine in 4K with HDR, it would look fantastic. But it wasn't a big budgeted film. It was $47 million in 2002. Special effects are very good, what there are. The planet looks amazing. The spaceships, the technology, everything looks good. George Clooney walking around the street in the future, in this unnamed future, it just looks like the street. Some of the sound effects and some of the stuff let you know it's the future, but... Like I said, it's all very down to earth, and that's one of the things I like about it, that it's really about the drama. It's about what's going on in people's heads and finding out the mystery of all of this. It's not about the technology. It's not about science fiction. This could have been taken at any point in time, however they could explain what happens, but it really isn't about the sci-fi part of it. It's about being human. Anyway, I would go back and watch the Russian version before I'd watch this again, but revisiting it now, it wasn't horrible. It just, for me, it's the short version. It cuts out a lot, and it is entertaining, and I watched it to the end and paused it, didn't look at my phone, you know, but all said and done, the original 1972 film, as good, if not better. With James Cameron and Steven Soderbergh, you would think, but, you know, trying to mesh this into a big summertime blockbuster just didn't work out, so. And I would say, as far as that goes, failure, but they made a decent movie. If I didn't know anything about the book, I might have liked this movie better, but I just don't know that they stick the landing. It's a little confusing the way it's done. But again, part of the story is the unreliability of memory and dreams and thought and reality. So check it out. I think it's definitely worth a watch and definitely worth a discussion. Solaris, it's available on various streaming services. You may have to rent it. I don't know if it's available free anywhere, but this week it was on sale for $5 on Vudu, becoming a Fandango at Home. Solaris from Steven Soderbergh from 2002. Check it out if you're into cerebral sci-fi. You may dig it. More podcasts are on the way. Thank you so much for listening. Have a spectacular day.